What up, everybody? This is Ruben Torres, connected with Ruben Torres. We are rolling in our mid-20s on these episodes of this podcast, man, and wanted to thank everybody for sharing and reviewing and doing all that good stuff. For the full 8 weeks, we stayed on the New and Noteworthy on iTunes, and it was an honor and a blessing. So you guys continue to share the love and spread it, spread it around if you guys are being edutained, anybody's learning anything from any of this podcast, or even if it's just something that's entertaining, make sure you tell a friend. And if you haven't subscribed and reviewed yet, please do so, and tell your friends to do so. So let's get into this episode with Sean Cassidy. Sean is he's a mover and shaker here in San Diego, and he's doing a whole lot of ton of stuff down in Guadalajara, and some of the stuff he's doing is super interesting. So make sure you guys check this out. Today's episode is brought to you by Milton Motion. I was about to say Friends versus Foes. I got Tim here in front of me, and he's making me nervous. But today's episode is brought to you by Milton Motion. Any podcast needs, you guys need any production, make sure you reach out to Tim. Any website stuff you may need, reach out to Tim. Photography, this dude's a beast. Make sure you check him out. MiltonMotion.com. Let's do this. Let's get into it with Sean. Let's get connected. Get connected. Connected with Ruben. Connected with Ruben Torres. Yo, if you C-O-N-E-C-T-A-D-O, you already know about the show, so let's go. It's your music and lifestyle, fashion profile, the entertainment source for everything you want to know about. North to the south, the east to the west side, stay connected with Ruben Torres worldwide, so let's go. Across the globe, well respected, beasting on the industry. Connected. Sean, thanks for stopping by and hanging out with us, man. I appreciate it. I know you're a busy man, but I wanted to kind of get into some of the stuff that you're doing, because you're doing some stuff internationally. But let's start with some of the stuff you're doing here in San Diego. Cassidy Creative Solutions, tell me a bit about what you do and your company.
Ruben, thanks so much for having me on. I have a lot of respect for all the work you do here in San Diego.
Thank you, sir.
And for all the other people binationally, the work you're doing. Cassidy Creative Solutions is, I've been a private consultant for about 25 years in the digital space. Mm-hmm. And I was started out as a brand manager for the upstart of Travelocity, the internet company in Texas. And when I was there first year, I beta tested the first social media, which was LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. I had friends on the West Coast here in Silicon Valley, and they asked me to beta test. And so I'm a really early adapter of social media.
Yeah.
My company, Cassidy Creative Solutions, really specializes in that space, working with people in social media, get them a lot of attention, international and national attention. So I work in the five top social media channels. I specialize in LinkedIn because I beta tested. I have around 30,000 contacts.
Wow.
And so I'm probably in the top, five people in the country in LinkedIn. And
you said how many of those are in San Diego?
10,000.
Wow.
10,000 in San Diego.
And what space are most of those people in? Like, what businesses are they involved in, or is it just a variety all the way around, or is it any specific business?
LinkedIn breaks it down to about 30 different sub businesses, mm-hmm. right? A lot of my businesses are based as entrepreneurs, and they're in the online space that I have in San Diego. But they're also, lawyers, and they're people in all different realms of accountants, engineers. They're in all different realms, but a high percentage of them are in the online space.
How is it that you got involved to be one of the beta testers for LinkedIn?
Well, it was kind of crazy. Now, I was an early upstart of Travelocity, and that's before the company became anything really big. It was a small company back then. And I had already began, networking by email, remember those old school before Facebook and before all this stuff, I began to do that. And I was curious about, what was going on in communications, and I had made some friends, in Silicon Valley area. They were mostly just, kind of like engineer type people and real nerdy guys. And they got into it first, and so I was just friends with them. And they said, "Hey, why don't you? You're at this upstart company, an internet company, right? And you'd be the ideal kind of person to help us beta test this, And that's how it manifested through friends.
And is that something that grew into other channels, or did you specifically stay in LinkedIn? Were you like, no, you know, I want to go check out, see what Facebook, Twitter, and all these other social media outlets are doing, or are you simply just concentrating on LinkedIn?
No, I've expanded into a lot of that. I mean, the interesting part about that social space is that, you know, you don't know how they're all integrated. You know, they're all started together. You know, LinkedIn was started by three people from PayPal. You know, Reid Hoffman was PayPal. That's Silicon Valley. You know, PayPal up there, they call it the PayPal Mafia. Mm-hmm. You know, because PayPal, you know, the people came out of PayPal have created YouTube. Mm-hmm. They've created Tesla. They created LinkedIn. Wow. They created Yelp. All these things that came out of PayPal, right? Mm-hmm. These are the main founders and the financiers of these internet companies. And so Facebook itself, the first investor in Facebook was the creator of LinkedIn.
Wow.
He gave $100,000 to Zuckerberg. He was the guy that brought him from the East Coast to the West Coast.
I did not know that.
And he introduced him to his boss at PayPal, at the time was a billionaire. And he became the first major investor in Facebook. So he's the chairman of the board right now at Facebook.
Wow. And to me, I always look at LinkedIn. It's it's like the business side of it. It's like the business sister brand of Facebook, I guess. I never knew that they were even connected like that. But it's also, to me, it's like the least used social media outlet for me, at least. I have my page there, but I check it every now and then, maybe every other day or every couple of days or whatever. But Is it something that they're sparking more attention to, or do you see it as a secondary to what everybody else is doing? Because I know right now, like, the hot thing is everybody's trying to jump on Snapchat and all these, there's like new stuff that's popping up all the time. But what are your thoughts on it, and why is it some people shy away from LinkedIn?
Well, LinkedIn is advertised as a recruiting network, mm-hmm. For people to get jobs. And that's not really how I use it. I'm using it for business intelligence. Mm. And so, what's transformational about when it got created is that it eliminated a phone book. Mm. And then, all the Fortune 500 companies are inside LinkedIn. So, in the old days, you couldn't just talk to a vice president or CEO, right? Even after 9/11 got really weird, I used to use virtually to get inside of companies, and that's what I still do to do that. Because I'm really not looking at a system. I'm looking at data. Mm-hmm. Right. So if I could do that in Facebook, I'd do it. Right. But it's really hard to do that in Facebook. You can't find the vice president of IBM in Facebook. Right?
Yeah,
I mean, try it.
True.
You just can't find them. Yeah. So what I'm doing is virtually getting inside companies. And I've been doing that for now 20 years. Wow. And then I changed the way I used it. Right. I still look at all the different systems the way they are. And I think they're all coming from an area. The founder of LinkedIn, he said something about social media, which is really, really important, right, to understand social media. He said it's about the seven deadly sins.
Which are what?
Right? Well, you put it, Facebook, what does Facebook sell? Facebook sells ego. And it sells ego 24 days, all day long. That's why it's so addictive. Yeah. And Instagram became along and got better at it. Yeah. So it really sells ego on Instagram. Yeah. That's why you have a lot of the young women that have massive followings. They're beautiful models and all that, but they're really selling ego, right? Yeah. I mean, they're selling ego. But what LinkedIn sells is the most dangerous of all the deadly sins, and that's greed. It sells greed.
Wow.
Yeah. It sells access to people, and people that the average user in LinkedIn makes over $100,000 a year.
Wow.
So a heavy user in LinkedIn these are people in the 1 or 2% of our country, or globally.
I got to start using it more.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I know there's people that give courses on Facebook advertising and this kind of stuff. Now, is there also the flip side of that? Do people is there outlets for making money and selling advertisements and doing that kind of stuff on LinkedIn?
Yeah, they do have an advertising format, and it's heavy in the recruiter space because that's where they make their bread and butter, right? Their bread and butter is sold to corporations and companies recruiting people, and their major area, which is in it, is the recruiting network, and that's where they're making the most of their money. Wow. And then there's an advertising network that goes to the corporate space, so that's, BMW is using that to reach certain people and, based on income levels, right? And that's how they're spacing it out to use that, right?
I think right now Twitter's kind of dying down. Is that something that you use more? What are some of the tools that you use more on social media?
I use most all the tools, right? I'm heavy on LinkedIn because I'm using it for data. So for example, if I want to find out somebody, I'll go find them in LinkedIn, right? I'll look about their entire history, right? Who they are, what they're about, you know, who they worked for, who they're connected to. Like, I'm not connecting to people for one-on-one. I'm connecting to know who they know. I want to know the second level. I want to know who they know. Okay.
Yeah, that's
the powerful way of looking at it, right? And the other spaces, what I'm looking at is how is it pushing brand. So I'm looking at Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest. Pinterest is a really heavy thing that's shifting, especially in the female related markets. You know, the women related markets. It's controlling economies around the country. It's critical to retail. It's gonna revolutionize retail.
Have you jumped into any of the stuff with like Snapchat or any of that kind of stuff that I keep hearing that it's kind of changing the game, Snapchat. I don't even have an account yet, but is that something that you see, like the direction changing into some of these? Because you got like Periscope and Blab, and you got a few of these things that are kind of you know, popping up, and you know, I don't know which ones are catching traction or not, but you know, is there any that you can recommend?
Yeah, I mean, you were kind of asking about all the kind of new ones coming out in Periscope. You know, I think video is going to revolutionize social media. Mm-hmm. I think we're living in a time of communications that is revolutionary, and meaning that, you know, we can start sharing our lives in the video space different than it's ever been done before. Mm-hmm. But also, we're able to communicate rapidly, even globally now. In a space that's never happened before in the history of mankind.
Yeah, do you feel that there's too many, or that there's not enough, or what's your thoughts on it? Share your opinion.
On the social space, you mean there's
too
many?
Spaces, yeah.
I mean, I think there's startups coming on all the time. Okay. I mean, here in the United States, we're not even looking at China, but you know, China has a Facebook that's twice the size of Facebook.
Oh wow.
I mean, you know, you're dealing with population.
It's not called Facebook?
Oh, no. Wow. And also the social media space over there, the guy's worth twice what Facebook is.
Wow.
So but people don't talk about that here, you know. They're not, it's a big, big market, China.
Yeah, I had no idea. And what you do with Cassidy Creative Solutions, tell me about what you do with the community and how you kind of help expand some of the stuff that they're already kind of working on, because I was introduced to you I seen you speak. You were at a nonprofit event where you came and you were sharing some of the stuff where you helped the photographer, mm-hmm. and he got some worldwide attention on the news. The guy in Coronado,
and I was
intrigued on how you seen things that other people really, you know, wouldn't look at, and then you use that to his advantage to create more attention, you know, in the media. Share a little more about what you do with Cassidy Creative.
I am a channel, is what I am. You know, being this long in the social space, my job is really to make people me. Okay, and so, you know, other people wheel in the space of making them dependent on people, right? And I come from the space of the Western, you know, there's Eastern and Western philosophy. And I spent a little time in India, and it changed my life. And that means I come from a perspective that I believe everybody's born with talent in them, mm-hmm. you know, and you just got to help them get it out of you, right? They're blessed with it. Right,
I believe that.
They're given a gift, and so what I do is I'm looking for those people that need help with their gift. Mm. You know, I already know they have the gift, right?
I just enhance it.
Yeah, I'm just a channel for them. You know, and so I sit down with them and I make them me. You know, I make them know what I know, and then by making them know what I know, I let them do what they can do with it.
And you know, you mentioned you know, being out in India, you do a lot of traveling. Also, you know, you've been involved in a couple other media channels, but you know, we had a conversation a while back about the Irish and Mexican descents, and you're talking about how you do a lot of traveling to Mexico, but also how you got involved with the Latino rebels.
Mm-hmm.
Can you touch on that a little bit?
Well, my family goes back to the Irish in Mexico, and they're called the San Patricios, and the San Patricios are very famous in Mexico.
Yeah.
That's the story of the Mexican-American War, and it goes back to the famine in Ireland. You know, when a lot of immigrants from Ireland coming here, and over 1 million people died in a famine in Ireland. You know,
wow.
And they came to the East Coast, and at the time we were fighting war with Mexico, And a lot of them came right off the boat, didn't even speak English. They speak Gaelic, which is the old Irish language. Mm-hmm. And they were recruited into the U.S. Army, and they were sent down to fight the war with Mexico. But majority of them were Catholics. You know, they were mostly from the old country, and they were Catholic. So when they got into, you know, close into Texas, and they realized, hey, we're going to fight against the other Catholic country, and we see so much common areas between us, you know, the churches and the lifestyle and everything, they defected from the U.S. Army. And that's one of my own family, Thomas Cassidy. Wow. He's a San Patricio. He defected and fought with Mexico. And he went all the way to Mexico City in the fighting, and he was himself killed in Mexico City.
Wow.
That's some history, yeah. Yeah. So the author who wrote that book, and I went searching, I spent 15, you know, I've been 20 years traveling in Mexico. 15, you know, most of that was wondering, because I never knew. I grew up very poor. My father passed away when I was 4, and there were 5 kids in the family. So I became working by the time I was 15, put myself through college. But I spent a lot of time in Mexico searching for my own history. And then I met an author in Guadalajara, who wrote the book of the Irish in Mexico, called The Irish Soldiers in Mexico. And I said, you know, I'm in this digital space right now. I said, why don't I bring this to a new, you know, it had been an MGM movie called One Man's Hero, right? But this is prior, you know, before Facebook existed and all these things. And I said, why don't I bring this to a new audience, you know, and I'll help you do this digitally. And it went viral, you know, and he got a lot of attention, new audience, a younger youth audience about his story of the history in Mexico and the Mexican War and the Irish in Mexico. And this group in New York called the Latino Rebels, which were the biggest Latino blogospheres in the United States. You know, they have hundreds of thousands of followers, and they're very much in the political space of helping Latinos. Mm-hmm. They saw what I was doing, and they approached me, and they said, you know, we have a private group here, you know, we really love what you're doing, and we want to invite you in. And I was like, oh, well, I'm the only non-Latino in that group, right? And I said, yeah, but you're doing activist work, right, in a way. You're doing that. This is what we do. And I said, okay, I'll join it. And that was 5 years later. You know, today, you know, they've been in every major media. Yeah. They've been in CNN, every. They're activists. They're influencers in the Latino space.
And when they let you in on that did you become an automatic honorary Mexican?
Yeah, in a way, with the deep roots. Yeah, I mean, my family history in Mexico opens a lot of doors for me in Mexico. I mean, the people that know about that history, I get respect. You know, I get respect in Mexico, of course, I'm married into it, though. I mean, I've been married to a Tapatía now for 12 years, and I've been going to Guadalajara for 15 years, back and forth, you know.
You just got back from there.
I just got back, yeah.
And so then you ventured into your new venture that you have with your new group. Tell us about that.
Well, last time I went to Guadalajara, you know, right after the holidays, I had some friends over there that I was networking with, and they said, hey, we want you to see what's going on over here. And they took me to the downtown area of Guadalajara, and they're building a digital city there, you know. And I thought, well, this is amazing, right? It's this huge kind of revamp of downtown Guadalajara where they're going to put all the creatives in one area. That means architects, designers, you know, people who are heavy in engineering, doing online development, graphics. And they're starting to build that out, right, creating a digital creative city. And the book, you know, the plan for it comes from MIT. So, I mean, it's really kind of interesting what's going on in Guadalajara. And I said, well, you know what? We live in a digital age now, and now we're looking at the ability to eliminate globally communications. And I said, why don't I just bring the two people? I'm living in San Diego, I live in Guadalajara. And I see the same thing happening in San Diego, right? I see the same kind of upstart creative community, creative space going on, you know. And I said, it would be interesting if I could just virtually bring everybody together.
And so you, with this, you've this thing has grown, and you've got tons of, you know, people following the group already, right? How many people do you have involved in the group?
900.
Wow. And just a little bit of time that you've...
Yeah, we're looking at 4 or 5 weeks. Yeah, 4 or 5 weeks.
Wow. And does this mean you're going to be going down there a lot more?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I with family there, and, you know, that is my second home, Guadalajara. I love Guadalajara, just like I love San Diego. You know, and I'll probably spend more time there, but I'm also doing a lot of interesting things with people there. You know, like there's a people that, you know, they're doing spaces that they want to collaborate with me, right? They want people to know what they're doing.
And they need the kind of attention that you can bring. And, you know, I know I brought up the guy that you were working with in Coronado, the photographer. Can you drill down a little bit more on just like what you did for him and some of the ways that people can get involved in what you're doing? I just found it interesting that, you know, you've seen something in this photographer that just blew him up. Can you share that story a little bit?
Well, when I went in to walk into his business, you know, I loved his work, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, his work is photographic. He does stuff from Ireland, so I'm Irish. I like that, right?
There was a connection.
And there was a connection. I said, man, this is beautiful. He's from Ireland. He went to Ireland and did all thing in Ireland, and I loved that. And then I had a conversation with him, and I discovered, you know, he was struggling at the time. He has a space right next to the Dell, but, you know, he had been around for a while, but he was struggling, you know. And what I'm really looking for is people I can help, right?
Yeah.
People I can help. I'm not looking for, you know, always looking for people that are doing great. I'm looking for people that I can help, you know. And so when I started working with him, he's very apprehensive. He was older, you know. He's like 70 years old. Wow. I mean, he's the guy in the social space, right?
Yeah,
he barely had a Facebook. You know, so I spent a week with him, which is what I do, and trained him to be me, right? And then I guided him through the entire process. The first thing I did was said, hey, you got to get people in the gallery much more. You know, they got to stay longer because it's a retail space, right?
Yeah.
So what I said, we got to trap some people here, and then you're going to use the social space to do that. So I want you to go get two maps, like magnetic maps of the world. Because, I mean, there's people all over the world coming into Coronado, right? And they're coming from all over the space, right? And then I want you to take a picture with them on the magnet saying, hey, this guy's from Singapore. Hey, this guy's from, you know, Phoenix. This guy's from you know, where? And then share that everywhere and ask them to share it on their Facebook. So his Facebook started to explode just through that interaction, right? And I said, you know, stop selling pictures and start selling experiences.
Mm-hmm.
So start making experiences in the gallery, right? So he started doing a lot of that, like making experiences and have grand openings and integrating with that. And then the next thing I did, I said, you know, on your social space, make yourself a brand. You're the brand. Like, you know, you have a gallery, but you're also the brand, right?
Yeah.
You're the name, and let people know who you are and what you do and what you're about, why you got involved in this. And then the last part was the important part, right? Because I'd have already done this. And then he gives me a call, okay? He gives me a call and he says, you know, as a photographer, images are gold to photographers, right?
Yeah.
You know? And he says there's a major, you know, rain came over, and then there's an incredible thing. There's three rainbows went over the Dell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's right next to the Dell. So he runs out of his gallery, hits the beach. He takes a photograph of it. He says, I have a magic image. I mean, I just know people are going to love this. It's gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
I said, yeah, what can I do with that? And I said, yeah, but, you know, he goes, there's a story behind it, a little interesting. I said, what's the story? He said, you know, before I came up there, there's a couple came up to me with their digital phone, asked me to take their picture, said they just got engaged.
Wow.
And he says, when I took the picture back to the gallery, I blew it up. And I said, it's the same couple. You know, you captured the couple under the rainbow in a moment of engagement. And I said,
wow.
Oh, no, this is big. I said, this is what social sells, right? It sells magic and it sells stories. And I said, so what we're going to do with this is now find this couple everywhere in the world. You don't know where this couple's from, right? And so we'll release this about 4 weeks before Valentine's Day.
Mm.
So we're close and, you know, seeing this time coming up right now, right? I said, and then I want you to do is look at a heavy social space next to you. So I want to make very good relations with the Dell Hotel and the digital people and their general managers and their front desk. And I want you to start bringing cookies over there. And I want you to start getting to know everybody there, right? And then I want you to, you know, we're going to release that 4 weeks before Valentine's Day. And we're going to say we're looking for this couple. And then you're going to go to the Dell, which has like 200,000 followers, right, on social media, right, because of all the weddings they do and international followers. Everybody's following that hotel, right? It's a historic place. And say, hey, will you share it? Because it's about weddings and it's about these kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
So they did share it, and 100,000 people shared it, looking for this couple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so after that, local news got involved. You know, Fox 5 showed up at his
gallery. I remember seeing it.
Yeah, Fox 5.
It was all over the news.
They showed up at his gallery. And this is the way I normally work, right? What I'm trying to do is create this sense of vibration, right, through the world, through the digital space. And that usually was when traditional media gets involved, because they say, hey, this is a story. We need to cover this. So they cover it, and that starts to get him some local recognition, right? And then what happens is, you know, everybody's looking for the couple, so they really get involved in this kind of story of trying to find the couple. So this is kind of inside information because people don't know all this, but, you know, for what happened to him, because people don't even know I was involved in this, right? I mean, he does. This is how I work with people. People don't know. And you're talking to me now because, you know, ask me people how it happens. But when I work with people, I don't generally, advertise that I'm the guy doing it.
It's behind the scenes magic.
It's behind the scenes magic, yeah. So I'm directing it like a director. And then, so he gets a call from CNN and Fox News. And they say, we love this story. We want to run it for Valentine's Day. And I said, okay, well, this is interesting, right? But you're still looking for the couple. And so the magic moment hits in social media when the brother of the guy calls him from Philadelphia. He says, that's my brother. Yeah, and that's his fiance. He says, they want to talk to you.
Wow.
You know, and I said, you know, what's a bit of a part about this is that he's going to give this away for their wedding anniversary. So you have to give to get in life, right? You have to create good moments for people. That's where it goes viral. And so he's on the phone with them that night, and I said, okay, so he calls me, and he says, what am I going to do? I said, you're going to go back to the producers at CNN and Fox News, and you tell them you found the couple. And so sure enough, they did. You know, strange thing happened. An international thing broke on CNN, so it went down on Fox News instead.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And so they have him live on Fox and Friends,
That's awesome.
Here in San Diego in the studio, and then in Philadelphia in the studio with the couple. And him giving it to them for their wedding anniversary and telling the whole story of Valentine's Day to that, which had already gone, you know, global, all over the world. And it hit the UK, it hit the Los Angeles Times, it had already went over all over the space. Of the space, you know, because when you create something digitally in viral space, the traditional media is going to be all over it. Because that's extremely how it's happening, right? It's creating it that. But what did I do? I basically sold story. I know. If you have a great story that touches people's hearts, and it was legitimate, right? I mean, he wanted to help the couple. He wanted to do something for them. He wanted to find them, and it was legitimate, right? So if you touch people's hearts, you know, the people are going to share like crazy. And if you want to ask for their help, then they're going to want to help you, you know? And I think even your work's like that. Your work's like that. People want to help because you're doing good for people, right?
Yeah, people want to jump in and, hey, man, I see what you're doing, you know, how can I get involved, you know, and it's a beautiful thing. And I think also, you know, doing all the public speaking and doing all that stuff, you know, creates a lot of the awareness. What other avenues are you taking to create awareness in what you're doing?
Well, I work individually with people, so their success is my success. And I really work based on referral basis in that sense. Like, I do public speaking, so people, you know, they kind of know what I do, and maybe I get work from that, right? But I know that if I do a really good job for somebody, that they're going to tell 10 people. You know, they're going to tell 5 people, you know. And what I'm looking for, I'm picking my ponies, right? I'm picking the people that I say, wow, they got something magic. They got magic in a bottle. They just need help, you know.
And you do life coaching too, right? Business coaching?
Yeah, I do business coaching. I'm basically a business strategist that has the internet background with it.
Yeah. And what are some of the most interesting businesses that you've worked with up to now that some other businesses around? Wow, it sounds kind of crazy out there. What are some of the other businesses around that you could say, hey, I've done businesses with these core group of people to attract more businesses to for your services?
Well, I've done local, but I've done international work, okay? You know, I've done work with people in Ireland, and that's some of the one things I'm really proud of. You know, there was a gentleman there that started about 7 years ago, and he helped people do investment groups. And so this is like, you know, in that space, right? But today he does it in 10 countries. Nice. He went online with it, and he was already very, very gifted in like helping people understand how to do money or investment. But he didn't have it in the social space, and he didn't have it in the internet space. So once he did that, I said, you know, why don't you just keep expanding, right? You know, and he didn't have fear of looking at global markets. Right, he didn't have a fear of it. You know, sometimes here we fear. Oh, we can't do that. I can't do that. He just had no fear. And then and the other people I like to work with is I like to do people that are doing social good. That's one of my big hot buttons. I'm looking at people doing social good. Like you know, people just want to get profits, right? People just want to get profits. That's not me. You don't want to work with me, right? Because I can help you get profits, right? But what I want to know is you're going to do social good for people. You're going to help people.
Business with a purpose.
That's what I'm about.
And I love that too. I love that whole concept of it. And yeah, you know, I really enjoy hearing what you're doing. You know, when I'd met you, I'd seen you at this this networking meeting, and I was intrigued with the whole story and how you do what you do. And I figured, man, more people need to know, you know, just on a different kind of audience, you know, what you do, because I think more people can use your services. So, you know, I really appreciate you doing what it is you do. How can people find you?
CassidyCreativeSolutions.com, mm-hmm. and they can find me on all the social medias, right? Mm-hmm. On LinkedIn, Sean Cassidy, they can find me there. It's not hard to find me with a bunch of people that are know me already. You know, there's a bunch of people that know me already, but you can see there. Yeah, so you can find me on there, and you can have my direct phone numbers on there. Nice. You know, I mean, there's thousands of people with my direct phone number. People don't realize that. Sometimes I even post it in social media, and they go, "Hey, well, when are you do that?" Yeah. You know, I directly. You know, you know, I'm a digital guy. You can find me digitally. You know, it's not hard. It's not hard to find me.
What would you say would be the best piece of business advice that you've received?
The best advice I've ever gotten in business is you do things because you love them, okay? If you do things you don't like for money, you're going to be really unhappy eventually. So what you do is you get to understand what you love, and you do what you love for the rest of your life, and you make that a business. That could be the simplest thing, could be the smallest thing. And also that manifestation that you do in life is really coming from you, and that you have to take complete control of your life. You can't blame other people. You can't blame other people for your successes or failures. I mean, if I wanted to blame my father because he died when I was four, I could do that, right? I could hold that grudge that I was thrown into poverty. I didn't do that, right? I tried to overcome it, you know, and then when I did overcome it, that made me a more empathetic person. So when I meet other people, I mean, I'm not intimidated by them in any way. I said, I bootstrapped myself. Well, what do you got? What do you got for me? You know?
You know, to wrap up, what would be your best way to, how to take advantage of the social media and the spaces that you work in? What would be the best, I would say, top three sentences on how to do that?
Well, build first. Mm-hmm. Build community. And build without any fear. Mm-hmm. Build. Keep building. Okay? Because the social space only has influence by the level of your influence in it. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's based on social influence. And social influence is access to people, basically. Yeah. That's what it is. It's access to people and the volume of people. So you got to build, and keep building. You know, and the second thing on that aspect in the social space is that you have to be a giver. You have to give to get. And that means you have to give a lot more than what you get. You have to give advice, and you have to give tips, and you have to go out there and
time,
and you got to find people that you can help. Yeah. You know, you got to find
that social currency.
Social currency, it's so much more valuable. Like the only thing I'll pay for is information, and that in a good meal. Like, you can give me a delicious meal, great tacos, something like that. I'll pay for that, man. I'll pay for that. But that's it. I mean, there's three things I think you need in life, right? Yeah. When you grow up in poverty, you understand this. You need water. Because doctors say you're going to die without it. And you need food, because you say you're going to die without it. And you maybe need shelter from the storm, right? And everything after that is a brand creation, right? It's something that says you must have it to live. And it's through the illusion of need that you must have it. But you don't need that to live. You know, there's homeless people right now, you know, even in San Diego, that they're not passing away, but they don't have a job, okay? But they're in pain. Mm. They're in mental pain. They're in suffering people, you know. So they need that help and guidance, and they need that to come through their lives, you know, to touch them in that way. But, you know, when you go to India, that's why India changed me too. And I mean, now I'm in Mexico, you can see people dying in the streets, right? Uh-huh. There's parts of India where people see people dying in the streets, you know. And then there's the other thing there where they have the gurus, where they believe, right, the less you have, the more powerful you got. The more spiritual you are if you don't have material possessions. If you don't have, you don't have that. Here, that's not a Western society thing, right? That's not consumerism, is it?
The opposite.
It's the opposite, right? Yeah. It's the opposite of what you have or don't have. Yeah. I think it's a spiritual thing. I think in the aspect of it in business, and I'll kind of give the last three aspect of it in business, is that you must know that what comes out of your mouth about your business will manifest. So if you constantly talk about things being bad, work being bad, the economy being bad, you're going to manifest that in your life. Hmm. You're going to make that happen.
Hmm. Interesting philosophy. I like that. Well, man, I appreciate you coming by and taking time to share your story. And hopefully you can come back and update us on what you're doing with the group, with the Guatemala stuff that you got going on. And I know you're always involved in something. You always got your hands full on something. So hopefully you can come back and we can do another interview and kind of touch base on where you're at, update us. But, you know, if there's anything else you want to share, anything else you want to plug?
Well, you know, I want to say how much I admire your work that you do for the community and for everybody in there. You know, what I'm involved in is creating digital transparency, right? Mm-hmm. I think that the digital space can take people out of poverty. I think it can rise people out of misery. I think that if you share information freely, then everybody can do better. Yeah. And so what I'm working on are those things. Every kind of work I'm doing is doing those things to alleviate pain to the digital space, because digital space is about access to people and information. Yeah. And so what I'm looking to do is give information to people so they can get empowered.
Yeah, there you go. That's what I'm about. Inspire, empower, and love. That's what we do with the Love Thy Neighbor movement. So, yeah, I agree. I think empowering those, especially, you know, knowing how we grew up and, you know, we didn't really have much of that. We didn't have a lot of the people empowering us. You know, we had to kind of go and learn it ourselves. So I appreciate that. I appreciate what you do. So anybody else looking to kind of expand and enhance on what you're doing in business and social media and just to grow your business, make sure you reach out to Sean Cassidy, Cassidy Creative Solutions. Good guy doing some good stuff here in San Diego and actually worldwide and nationally. So make sure you reach out. That's all the time we got for the Connected Show, and we will be touching base soon. There you go. Thank you, Sean. Appreciate it.
My honor. Thank you.
There you go. You just got connected. We out.